Thank you, sir. It's a joy and a privilege to be able to come by your way of listening once again. I hope the Lord will bless you by your listening. The Lord wants to speak to your heart. The Lord wants to speak to all of our hearts. Thank God he's not a God afar off, as mankind may think he is. But the Lord says in his Bible that God is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. He's not a God afar off. He's just one prayer away. I tell you, when he was on the earth, the Bible says that he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he went to pray. And he separated himself from his disciples about a stone's throw away. So he wasn't very far away from them. But even so, moreover, in these days, after Jesus has paid the price on the cross of Calvary, and he's eradicated sin and atoned for sin, and he went to hell for you and I, and he paid the price for our sins, and he was resurrected from the dead upon the first day of the week, and he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs being seen of his disciples for 40 days, and then he was carried up among high to sit down on the right hand of the Heavenly Father on the mercy seat to intercede prayers of the saints according to the will of God and to intercede the sinner's prayer out of each and every one that's not saved. And now, like I said, he's not a God afar off. He's nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And I tell you, that's the main thing. That's the most important thing. You may have goals for yourself. You may have ambitions for yourself, an occupation. You may want to be a lawyer. You may want to be a doctor. Or you may be already in your occupation. Or you may be just jumping from job to job, or wherever you are in your life, whether you have an occupation, whether you have a job, whether you're in school, whether you're married and have a family, and you're working a blue-collar job, a white-collar job, whatever kind of job you have, whatever type of ambitions you have, the Bible says, with all you're getting, get understanding. What the most important thing is in this life is to be born again, to know where you're going when you leave this world. Because none of us, not me, not you, are promised tomorrow. Our bodies are fragile. As much as we are, we try to fortify, as much as we try to use wisdom as we go about, and you should, especially in these evil days we live in, you ought to use wisdom. You ought to acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. And I tell you, anything subject to happening, if you're not under prayer, and if you're not trying to listen to the Lord, anything subject to happening, and we are fragile, and we are just one heartbeat away from eternity, and so you need to make sure that you're saved. You need to make sure, like the scripture says, that you have made your peace calling and election sure. You got to be born again. You got to be sure that you're born again. And being born again does not mean as far as just joining the church. By joining the church, that doesn't mean you're born again. Just by getting baptized in the water, that doesn't mean that you have really been born again. Just by trying to do better, that doesn't mean you've been born again. I'm talking about a born again experience. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. I'm not talking about going through the formality of religion. A lot of people are confused about salvation. They're confused about being saved. They're confused about the statement of being born again. And mankind and the devil has riddled the situation and confused the situation. And just by going to church doesn't mean you're saved. And by getting baptized in the water and having a flimsy prayer after some preacher, that doesn't mean that you got saved. You get saved after you hear the word of God preached by someone that's really saved, someone who God called and sent, and he's got the power of God in him, and he's explaining to you what you need to do to get saved. It's pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's foolishness unto the world, but we that are saved, it's the power of God into salvation. So you got to hear the word of God. The Bible says, how shall you hear except, a preacher be sent? How shall you believe on him whom you've not heard? How are you going to hear without a preacher? And how is he going to preach except he be sent? So God's got to send a preacher. Like the scripture says, there was a man called John who was sent from God. And God sent the apostle Paul. And God sends his pastors. God sends his evangelists. Even today, he's got his men. He's got his people. But it's very few and far and in between. Those that have really been born again, who can really convey over to you the real, genuine message of salvation. We got a lot of people bumping their gums and exercising their First Amendment rights. And we got a lot of people standing behind the pulpit, standing where they ought not. Some of them are sincere about what they're trying to do and explain, but they're sincerely wrong. And I've heard them. But I'm telling you, I know the difference between the religion of the world and genuine salvation. And I've seen it in my pastor. I've seen it in my brothers. I've seen it in those before I got saved. And I knew there was something real that I was supposed to receive. I knew that a born-again experience was going to transform my life in reality. And thank God, prayer caught up with me. And I came to the Lord after the Lord spoke to me through the preaching of the word. He let me see I was a sinner. I was convicted. I ran from the Lord at first. But then, thank God, prayer caught up with me. And I came to the Lord with my broken heart and my contrite spirit. And I repented fully of my sins. And I would not be denied. I kept on praying and praying until the Lord got alive in my heart. Now, he would have saved me the first 30 seconds into my prayer. But I was holding back something. I was holding on to the things of the world. My ambitions, my future ambitions, or my past sins that I found pleasure in. And the devil was trying to offer me up something new. But I tell you, there's no new thing under the heaven. I tell you, sin does not satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy. And thank God, I kept talking to the Lord and praying. And I repented of my sins. And he gave me the living bread. He gave me something that quenched my hunger and quenched my thirst. I took a bite of the living bread. And Jesus said, I am the living bread that come down from heaven. And I've ate of him. When I repented, thank God he got alive in my heart. And I tell you, when I repented, he put that well of living water in my heart, whereby I've never thirsted for the things of the world. The Bible says if you're saved, you're a brand new creature, a brand new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become brand new when you get saved. It's a joyous experience when you get saved, and there's a reality in being saved. It's not tongue-in-cheek. It's not a head knowledge and a lip service. It's not turning over a case of the do-betters, trying to reform and trying to do better and trying to repeat a prayer after some preacher. It's good that you have those intentions to want to reform. It's good that you want to seek the Lord. And you absolutely ought to seek the Lord. But the Bible says you got to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. And when you seek him, you got to seek him with your whole heart. Not 99% of your heart, but 100% of your heart. You see, you're to have no other gods before him. And I tell you, someone that you're married to, I mean, or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or silver and gold of this earth, these things, some of these things are good, I'm naming, but you can't put anything before the Lord is what I'm trying to say. The Bible says, he that forsaketh not husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and children and material things shall in no wise enter to the kingdom of heaven. But you got to deny yourself. You got to put the Lord first. You're to have no other gods before him. You got to seek him early, first and foremost, like it was with Jacob in the days of old. He set his family aside. He set his silver and gold aside. He crossed over the little brook, and then he bowed down on bended knees, and he smote his chest, and he asked the Lord to have mercy upon him. And he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and he would not be denied. He kept on praying, until the Lord blessed him. And I tell you, you'll know it when the Lord saves you. You'll know it when the Lord blesses you, because I tell you, the peace of God will get alive in your heart. The joy that you've never really had in life will come up and get alive in your heart. And the burden of sin that you're carrying around, you may not even know you're carrying around a burden of sin. But when the Lord saves you, I tell you, he gives you peace. He gives you lightness. I mean, he washes your sins away and he makes you feel white as snow on the inside. He cleanses you with his precious blood, the untainted blood. It's a spiritual happening that takes place, a real born-again experience. And that's when you come to him one-on-one. I tell you, shut the world out. Come to the Lord. He wants a personal relationship with you. You got to seek him for yourself. Just because your mother's saved don't mean that you're saved. Just because a family member is saved doesn't mean you're saved. Every man for himself. You got to come to the Lord for yourself and talk to the Lord. He wants an individual relationship with you. He wants to put the well of living water in you. He wants to give you a bite of the living bread. He that eateth of me shall never hunger again, Jesus said. He that drinketh of me shall never thirst again. I will put within his soul a well of living water whereby he'll never thirst again for the things of the world. I'm still tempted, but I tell you, I'm not really hungering and thirsting after those things in the world like I was before I got saved. I was trying to fulfill the desires of my flesh, the lust of my flesh. But when the Lord saved me, now I desire to hunger and thirst after more righteousness. I want to do better. I want to be a soldier. I want to please the Lord. And the Bible says, them without faith cannot please the Lord. But them that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yes, he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to diligently seek the Lord. It's not tongue-in-cheek. It's not nonchalant. You got to diligently seek the Lord for salvation. Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious man, someone who was religious, a good moral man, but he wasn't saved. And the Lord spoke to him about the message of salvation. He told him he needed to be born again, not of the flesh. He asked a question, how can I be born when I am old? He said, Jesus, how in the world can I be born again when I'm old? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? My mother's already passed away. How in the world am I going to get back into my mother's womb and be born again? What are you talking about? And Jesus said, I'm not talking about another fleshly birth. He said, if it's another fleshly birth, you'd just be lost again. He said, you got to be born of the Spirit. He said, you've been born of the water, and that's the water when you're born into this world. Mankind is born of water. You're born the water bag of your mother in your womb. I tell you, that water breaks and you come forth. And that's how all of us come forth. And our body is made up of 70-80% of water. And I tell you, that we're made up of that. We're born of water. But Jesus said, you've been born of water. You've been born of the flesh. Now I'm saying unto you, you must be born of the Spirit. And the Spirit is what I'm preaching to you. The words that I speak, they are Spirit and they are life. Jesus said, if you take heed to it, receive the engrafted word in your heart with meekness, the Lord will save your soul. And he'll make a brand new creation out of you. But I tell you, you'll know it and you'll feel it when you really get saved. I'm not talking about church membership. I believe in joining the church. I believe in getting baptized in the water. I believe in going through those types of things. But you must be born again first. You got to get the cart. You can't get the cart before the horse. You got to get the horse before the cart. You got to get things right before you join the church. You got to get placed into the body of Christ first before you're baptized in that water. By being baptized in that water does not mean you're being placed into the body of Christ. I tell you, when you get saved, when you repent of your sins, Jesus, the baptizer, will baptize you spiritually right then and there. You're being born of the Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Jesus Christ performs that baptism upon you. And then, as a token showing you got saved, then you go join the church, where preferably where you heard the gospel, and then you get baptized in the water there and you join that church. And the water just signifies what happened to you when you got saved. It's just an outward token, an outward expression showing what happened to you on the inside. See, my time gone. God bless you. Appreciate you listening. In Jesus' name we pray and amen.